Instead, I'm recording the show.
Maybe we got to put up a social calendar for us.
I personally need a calendar, and I know that.
Well, I've got one. It's called my wife.
Oh, yeah, exactly. All right, go ahead. I'm recording now. I'm good.
She keeps me honest. What can I say?
All right, we're gonna we have a special guest today, Ken Vogt, who is a solutions engineer 2, which is probably twice as good as being a solutions engineer 1.
That's right.
That's right. He is from Frontier, and he'll be talking to us in just a few minutes about things like DSL and all that other cool stuff that they do. But before they do that, before he does that, we're going to do the news, and I think we'll start with Dave.
Okay, a couple of things here. One, the Defense Department has spent over $500,000 so far.
Wow.
Just to get started on trying to eliminate a lot of the child porn. Even in the Defense Department, they have to contend with this. You go to various websites and wind up with child porn, so they're really starting to crack down on that because, you know, heaven forbid, they come in and all of a sudden knock those folks down for having all this child porn. I mean, there's a lot of it out there. You know, there's a lot of porn, let's put it this way.
Right.
And adult porn's okay if that's what you're into. But, you know, the child porn, we have at our company zero tolerance for that. I'd turn in my own brother if I caught
that
exactly. Machine. You know,
exactly.
Just won't put up with it. The other great thing is Samsung is now coming out with a leading new, what they're calling DDR2. It's supposed to be, you know, like anything else, bigger, better, and faster, and it's a good thing that they're coming out with it right now to, you know, kind of jump on the bandwagon to run the machines faster because AMD and Intel have already stated that, you know, don't look for any new chips coming out from us this year. It won't be until actually January of next year before they start releasing some chips. So, again, this is what I've been telling you. A lot of these other companies, memory makers, video card folks, and everybody else, it's a perfect opportunity right now that they can sort of get a little caught up, not all the way, because, you know, I mean, the chip designers are constantly, you know, speeding things up, making things bigger, better, faster. So this little bit of a lull is, one, better for the consumer because, you know, they're adding extra toys. One of the other things that's coming out right now is in the DVD world. They've come out with a new, who was this that we decided that was doing this? Verbatim.
Verbatim, yeah.
Yeah, it's now come out with a drive that once you burn your DVD, you can then flip the disc over, put it back in, and it'll burn a label.
I love this.
On
I
top of
this.
The DVD. So, I mean, you know, no more of these, there's a device out called Stomper. And you can sit there and get these paper labels and push it down and put a label on there. And quite often, if the glue's not that great, they come up. And they can also jam up a disk drive. But to actually be able to burn your own professional labels
very cool,
onto
yeah.
a DVD is really going to be slick. One of the other great things that's coming out to kind of keep this short is there's all kinds of jeers, cheers, and great aspects for Google. And that they're going to start allowing for video search. Now, this isn't actually getting the actual videos. They're just looking, for, you know, if you want to know information about various videos and movies that you can do some searches at.
Right, but you can't actually, we should let people know you can't actually see the video.
Right. No, this is just to get us, you know, to see, you know, who put it out or you want some information, you're doing some research, or see if it's still in print.
Right. You can get to that at google.com/video.
Yep. And they'll have, you know, right there on their
eventually, it's not
screen.
There now, of course, because
yeah.
it's still beta.
Yep, so that's it on the PC side.
Perfect. Dan?
All right. There's two new versions of the Bagel virus out. It's Bagel.ax and Bagel.ay, and you can get it from peer-to-peer sharing networks and also emails. And the emails to look out for, the subject lines, are delivery service mail, and registration is accepted mail, and also you are made active. So watch out for those. Antivirus companies are on top of it. They just released updated virus definitions for these viruses that will catch it and get rid of it. So be on the lookout for those. Also, on that note, A federal judge just on Friday sentenced a 19-year-old Minnesota man to 18 months in prison for unleashing a variant of the MS Blast Worm. He pleaded guilty last summer, guilty in Seattle, and he is also, he's going to be doing 10 months of community service also
good.
With his sentence.
Good.
So that's good to hear.
Yeah. Finally clamping down on these idiots.
Yep. All righty. On the Microsoft side, first, those of you who use either Word or Excel and encrypt your files, well, guess what? That doesn't work. There's a serious flaw in it, highly exploitable, not a theoretical attack. It relates to the way they do 128-bit encryption. So if you're one of those people who encrypts your files, most people do that for work, of course, it doesn't work. Don't bother. Find some other way to do it. Because it's real easy to break. Winamp. There's an update to Winamp. So if you're a Winamp user, go get the update. There's a critical security bug that is now fixed from Winamp. Speaking of fixing and breaking of fixing, there is a major security flaw. There is a security feature in Windows XP Service Pack 2 called Data Execution Protection, which is intended to prevent would-be hackers from inserting rogue code into a PC's memory and tricking Windows into running that code. Unfortunately, that's been broken. So we're done. There was a MySQL worm to hit Windows systems. It didn't hit Linux systems, only Windows systems. The problem is that when you install MySQL, it gets installed with a blank root password. That made it easy to install, and of course, in Windows, it was in Linux, it was pretty safe. But under Windows, it's breakable. That was shown up on Thursday. They fixed it on Friday. It's the same idea of open source. Within 24 hours, problem fixed. All you have to do is download the update, and you're good.
One story that I was reading I found interesting was that IBM put a challenge to all their IT people.
I got that one.
Oh, did you? That, I thought, was very interesting.
Yeah, IBM put out a challenge to all of their IT people, particularly, to move to Linux, to move to a Linux desktop. And they said they wanted 40,000 by the end of 2004. They're being quiet at the moment on how many they have. There were about 15,000 in November. Nobody knows if they hit the 60,000 desktops.
I just find it interesting that they've always been the renegade company.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, remember when the IBMs came out a long time ago, what operating system were they pushing?
Sure.
Anybody remember?
OS 2.
Yes. I mean,
which was a great product, by the way.
They worked really, and it's a shame that one just never caught on, but now here they're going
to... Sure it did. They called it, they changed the name, though. They called it Windows and...
Yeah. But, I mean... That one product, though, you know, wasn't able to keep that name.
It was a great product. And
yeah.
The front end was better than anything that Windows had at the time.
But just being the renegades, and, I mean, they're going to get more support because even the Defense Department wants to go to Linux.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, there's a lot of places.
I'll tell you what, I'm running Linux as my desktop now. I'm doing so much security work that I can't risk opening something, doing something, playing with something that's you know, probably got a virus on it, because I do a lot of that now. And so I can't run a Windows desktop anymore, not safely, so I'm running a Linux box. And so far, except for the improvement, I haven't noticed the difference. That's an old Groucho Marx joke. But you stay here, I'll go home to your wife, and outside of the improvement, you'll never know. Boom, boom, thank you. I'll be here all week. Try the deal. I have found only one or two programs that I actually miss, and they're utility programs that just I've learned to use over the years, and I wish I had exactly those features because my fingers learned them.
Sure.
You know, fingers learned Control Shift F did that.
But that's just the thing with Linux, though. You put it out there, and somebody will write the code for it.
Well, exactly right. And the other thing is, like I've said before, it's like buying a new car. You still know how to drive, it's just the radio's in a different place.
Yeah.
So you just have to learn where the radio is, and I'm in that stage now. So there are a couple of little annoyances, but in terms of getting my work done, it's just as easy.
Yep.
And just
nice
as
OS.
Fast. It's pretty nice. It's a great OS. One last big thing, those of you who are using Microsoft Windows and may not have a fully legal copy of it, Microsoft is about to start requiring a check Users will have to validate their operating system before using two of Microsoft's download sites, Microsoft's Download Center and Windows Update websites. They offer applications such as the Windows Media Player, the new Windows anti-spyware product, security updates for Microsoft products. Now, this validation is not yet required for the Windows Automatic Updates. That feature is built into Windows and is the thing that every once in a while you get that little globe down at the bottom of your screen, that little ball that says, you got an update coming. And the move obviously is designed to lock out pirated copies of Windows from their download sites. The lock was tested on the Download Center ever since September, and about 5 million users have voluntarily taken part in the test. And sometime in an unspecified date this year, all users will have to validate their copies of Windows. So it's going to be pretty interesting. The number of language versions has to be increased from 5 to at least 25. It has to cover more of the downloads in the Download Center. So they're not ready to do it yet, but pretty soon, you'll have to validate your copy of Windows before you'll be allowed to download anything, because God knows, as far as Windows is concerned, you're a pirate until you prove otherwise.
Guilty until proven innocent.
Exactly right. The British system. It's an interesting problem that they have, though. I mean, they own, what, 98% of the desktop,
yes.
So they have nowhere to grow.
Exactly.
So the only way they can grow right now is to get rid of the pirates. You don't make money being number one.
Well, then
you make money by selling new product, and they haven't got any new places to sell stuff to.
Well, it's just like not only their operating system, but take features like Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. How many other things can you add into doing word processing?
Well, and that's the big thing, right from Office 97.
Yeah.
Who needs more than that?
Exactly.
Who needs even that much?
I would say, over 75% of the folks don't use over 50% of the features built into a particular product.
I've said this time and time again. There's a product called Microsoft Works. They're unheralded great piece of software.
It is super.
It does everything most people need. And if you want to spend $100 more, you can get all of Word with it.
Yep.
If that floats your boat. But 90% of the people don't need anything more than comes in Works. They would save a bundle of money if they just kept that.
I used to do Works using it for a database.
Yeah.
And I liked the way I could sort out labels, the number of labels I wanted to, and just say, print just these labels. So if I had a certain group of folks that I wanted to focus on, I could sit there, just show me these labels, make them active, and print them.
I can't tell you how many times people say to me, I had to go out and buy Office, for whatever reason they had. And I looked at their machines, and they got Works. And they never do anything more than write a couple of letters and maybe keep a checkbook on their spreadsheet, maybe. And I'm thinking, you wasted $400.
Yeah, it's really nice because they have the trimmed down version of Excel on there to do your spreadsheets.
Right. It's not a huge spreadsheet. There's a limitation.
Right.
But you won't reach it, not an average human being, for the kind of simple spreadsheets that people use.
Right.
And if you need more, great. Then you have a business reason to go get it. But just because I've got to have it. It doesn't seem to work for me. But so if you're getting a machine and it's got Works already on it, check it out before you go and spend $400 for or $700 if you get the other version. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dan and Dave and Ken and Chris and me, Nick, and in the meantime, the magnificent Joan Brandenburg will be reading you the news, and we'll be back on the other side of that with a whole lot more sound bites on 1180 WHAM.
Got a headache? The relief you need is speeding your way with Advil Liquid Gel. Liquid fast.
Advil strong.
For tough headache pain, the liquid fast pain relief of Advil Liquid Gels is faster and stronger than extra strength Tylenol. Liquid fast.
Advil strong.
Advil Liquid Gels are the only liquid real liquid inside. They rush relief right to where you need it. Find out what Liquid Fast Pain Relief can do for you. Advil Liquid Gel. Liquid Fast.
Advil Strong. Use as directed.
Want to get to the next level of your career? Earn a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix. It's college designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn your degree in 2 to 3 years. At over 140 campuses, they offer programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix at 1-800-853-4433. Offer not valid in Tennessee or Nevada. Programs vary by campus. That's 1-800-853-4433.
Here's a shopper's bulletin from Rowe Photo Video and Audio. Canon lenses and binocular rebates are still in effect, but they absolutely end on January 31st. Ask old Chief Chet. Saving money is a very good thing, particularly on high-value products like Canon. But this is your last chance, and you can double, even triple that rebate with the purchase of two or more Canon lenses. Savings, too, on Canon flash units, photo printers, and the incredible Canon Digital Rebel cameras. Canon rebate savings only through the 31st. For details at any of Rowe Photo's three locations.
Let's get you dry. Did you hear about Cornell Jewelers' annual grand sale yet?
I love jewelers. 70% off. Wow, 7% off? I can't believe it.
No, honey, 70% off. Watches, rings, bracelets, you name it. All at up to 70% off.
17% off? I'll save so much money.
Not 17. That doesn't even make sense. 70.
Wow, 27%.
70, for the love of mother.
For 27% off, I will buy my mother something.
You heard right. Come to Cornell Jewelers' annual grand sale and get up to 70% off select styles of envy-inducing jewelry and watches. It's simply decadent. It's surprisingly affordable. It's Cornell Jewelers' annual grand sale, Thursday, January 27th through Sunday, January 30th at 3100 Monroe Avenue.
27%.
70.
Cornell Jewelers, unique like you.
Good morning.
It's 11:29. I'm Joan Brandenburg with the WHAM News Update. Police in Western New York are investigating why a charter bus crashed into a parked tractor trailer, killing four people and injuring 19. The accident happened yesterday evening on Interstate 390 near Geneseo, 27 miles south of Rochester. That bus was carrying members of a Canadian young women's hockey club. The accident was difficult for everyone involved.
Countless number of ambulances. There's three helicopters here for mercy flight. We summon every resource we have for something like this. It's a mass casualty incident. These things don't happen too very often.
Well, the section of 390 where the accident happened did not open until this morning. Officer White is reminded of another accident. He is with the state police. He is reminded of another accident, and maybe you will be too, in our area not so very long ago.
It's very disturbing, actually. We're investigating the one in Victor a couple of years ago, very similar to that.
Now, the highway is now open to traffic, and we have WHAM's Randy Gorman, our news director, at Strong Hospital this morning. Following up on this story, we will be bringing you complete details at noon today. A Phelps man faces felony charges after a fatal crash in that town early on Saturday morning. Ontario County deputies say the 22-year-old Richard Bridger of Phelps is charged with leaving the scene of a fatal accident after the incident on Route 96. It happened near the Yankee Clipper Bar. Authorities say that a pedestrian, 27-year-old Kyle Dockstader, was hit and killed by a pickup truck. Deputies say they later tracked down the vehicle in a parking lot in Phelps, and they were able to locate Bridger. He was ordered held on bail and could face additional charges. In news around the world, the polls have closed, and the pace of voting in Iraq was increasing this morning despite all of the series of deadly bombings around the country. At least 29 people have been killed, yet there are strong lines and were strong lines all day long at some polling places, including some mixed neighborhoods of Shiite and Sunni Muslims. Checking sports, more than 2,400 student-athletes participated in the Greater Rochester Cheerleading and Dance Competition yesterday, taking the top prize, the Hilton Varsity Squad. Congratulations, ladies. In a game heard off the dial on Hot Talk 1280 WHTK, the Amherst defeated the Hamilton Bulldogs 3-2. Syracuse Orangemen's basketball team really couldn't hold on against the Big East rival Pittsburgh, losing to those Panthers 76-69. Rochester Nighthawks won their third straight game, defeating the Toronto Rock 12-11 in overtime at the Blue Cross Arena on Saturday night. The Weather Authority forecast, and of course your lottery numbers, but not kind of in sequence. I'll fix that next newscast. They're coming up. WHAM News Time, 11:32.
When the blizzard of 2005 hit, WHAM was there with complete team coverage.
Police agencies asking you to avoid any unnecessary travel.
Lake effect snow hit this evening. I do have a number of cancellations.
With ultimate Doppler radar from 13 WHAM.
Temperatures near zero and below zero wind chill.
To live reports.
One gust nearly blew me down the street.
A winter storm warning is in effect for today.
Boy, do we have a ton of snow out
WHAM
here.
WHAM kept you in the know.
There's a lot of storm.
When bad weather breaks out, we break in. 1180 WHAM. Now, the WHAM Weather Authority forecast.
For today, mostly cloudy with a chance of flurries this afternoon, high around 30. Tonight, partly cloudy with some flurries, low around 10. Monday, some sunshine and a high of 30 for the rest of the week. Sunshine here and there. Daily high temperatures lingering around 30 degrees and overnight lows around 20. The 13 WHAM radar shows very, very little activity in our area, and we are very grateful for that. Thank you very much. Downtown is partly cloudy at about 23 degrees.
Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dan Deary.
I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
Very good. And this is Soundbites. Before we go on, two quick things. First, I want to thank everybody who sent me warm regards all week. I was sick. Like you wouldn't believe this last week. I was down hard.
You sounded like death warmed over, dude.
I'm not sure I was all that warmed over. I was down hard all week. You can hear I'm still not 100%. But I'm a lot better now, and I want to thank everybody who sent me good wishes. And I also particularly want to thank my wife and daughter for putting up with me all week. I took over the couch where the big TV is. My daughter was not happy. My daughter was absolutely
not happy. She lost that
battle, huh? She lost that for a week. She was pretty good about it, but every time I got up off the couch, she was there for, 10 minutes, whatever it was. Exactly right. And the last thing is there is a security update from Apple this week. There's a security update 2005-001 for OS 10 version 10.2.8. OS 10 Server 10.2.8, OS 10 10.3.7, and OS 10 Server 10.3.7. The software is available for download either using the Software Update System Preference Panel or through the Apple Downloads website. So if you are using the 10.2.8 or 10.3.7, definitely get the update. There's some interesting little bits and pieces, but most important is that support security update. So go do that. And I say that for Steve, who isn't here to do it himself. We're going to go to the phones now, and the first person we are going to talk to today is Frank. Frank, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you guys?
Good.
Two questions. First, can a jump drive back up your hard drive in the event of a crash? And second, on the spywareguide.com, they have a thing called an X cleaner. It's supposed to get rid of spyware. What's your opinion on that?
Haven't played with X cleaner myself.
And one, a jump drive, I mean, the most those are,
just data storage. I mean, you can throw your files on there. But
a jump drive, also known as a thumb drive or a USB drive, the kind you plug into the back of the computer?
Yeah.
Holds maybe 1 gig, half a gig, whatever it holds. These guys are right. They're great for backing up your data.
But not your
files.
Whole system.
Yeah. You can back up your files and stuff on it.
But you really don't necessarily want to do that anyway.
No.
I mean, you want to make sure that if your machine crashes for whatever reason, you want to make sure that you've loaded clean copies of the operating system
and
all your applications anyway.
Well, that's saying it's time to reinstall everything fresh.
So really all you want to do is have your data backed up. In terms of backing up your files, it's a great thing. But as far as XCleaner is concerned, I'm afraid I've personally not used it.
Yeah.
There are so many products on the market, we've only had a chance to test a very few of them. But I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily go for it.
Which I'd like to put out a plug right now for all our listeners is on February 13th. I've got Mike Woods coming on the show. He'll be on the second half of the show, and he is the VP with Adaware.
Adaware.
Which is one of the products that we highly endorse here at Soundbites. We have for a number of years. And matter of fact, we've even converted Kim Commando. Last night I heard her on the air. She must have visited the Soundbites website, because now, even though she's got another company that she's is doing ads, she goes, well, maybe you should try SpyBot and AdAware.
That's right.
Coming up with that combination, she must have hit our website.
When she actually mentions the Security Tango, we'll know we're made.
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
So, that's the long and short of it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay,
thanks. Our next caller, Linda. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi, Nick.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, I got a question for you. My question is, I haven't got Service Pack 2 on, but I want to put it on, but I'm having trouble backing up my files.
Uh-huh.
So, I have got two drives. A friend of mine partitioned them. I've got a C drive and I got a D drive. Can I take the information from my C drive and put it in my D drive, or will XP2 ruin the D drive also?
Well, now, hold on a second. If you have a partitioned drive...
Yeah, I got two drives.
No, you have one drive with two partitions.
Okay, yeah.
So if something happens to the drive, you've lost all your data anyway.
Okay.
So partitioning is not a good way to keep the stuff secure.
Okay.
What you really want to do is take those files,
uh-huh,
take your data, and move them to another physical device.
Well, see, that's the trouble. I can't. My computer won't let me do that. I have tried several devices. Well, let me tell you my problem. I've had my friend put in service. I'm confused. Put in USB 2.0. Okay?
Yes, sure.
Okay, he did not, which I didn't know till later, did not put in all the stuff that was on the CD.
Yeah,
okay. And I can't find the CD, so I think he took it, but he says he doesn't have it. But that's my problem. I've got 2.0, it barely runs my printer, but I'm going to have somebody come over, but she says back up my data.
Right. Right. What you need to do is your individual data. We're not talking about the program files. We're only talking about your files.
Right. Like I got a lot of songs on my D drive.
Right.
Okay. And, my friend did set it up where all my downloads go to the D drive instead of the C drive.
Right.
The best thing to do is burn it to CD. I mean, that's the safest way to...
That's what I've been trying to do, but I can't do that. It won't let me. For some reason, there's something in my computer, which I don't know what it is. I can burn music, but I can't burn data files.
What error message do you get?
I don't really get an error message. It just doesn't do it. I don't get nothing. It just doesn't do it. It sits there. I have no error message, no nothing. It just sits there.
Okay.
That's my problem.
Unfortunately, Linda, without an error message, there's not much we can do over the phone. Somebody's actually going to have to see it.
Yeah.
So you're either going to have to get somebody out or bring the machine somewhere. Unfortunately, without an error message, we can't really tell over the phone what the problem is. So get somebody out to it. Or bring it into a reputable dealer and have them take a look at it and fix it up. It's probably just a single missing DLL or or something along that line.
If
but
it's doing music, there's something else that's happening she's just not seeing.
It could even just be in her burning software or something.
Right, right. So, but you need to have, unfortunately, without an error message, there's very little we can do over the phone. So please, please check that out and let us know what the resolution was, so that we can have some idea of that. Our next caller is Tom. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. I've got two computers networked running XP, and I have an HP printer in a USB port on the main computer, and I'm trying to configure it so I can print from the second computer to the HP through the other computer. And I can't figure out how I configure it to do that.
What kind of HP printer is this? Is this one of those all-in-one businesses?
It's a PhotoSmart one.
There's a bunch of software you loaded with it.
Yes.
It's preventing network connection. It's preventing you from sharing it. I have an HP, one of those multi-function print and copy and
all in one,
all that things. Yeah, and I had the same problem. Couldn't get it to network.
Well, this printer only
like
prints.
A week.
It's not a scanner. It only prints.
But you've loaded the HP software.
I've got the HP software. Well, I've got the drivers for it on both computers.
Right. And then there's that software that tells you when it's out of paper and when it's out of ink. And
yeah, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff.
So
Until I removed that software, I couldn't network them.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, I don't get it either. You would think... You would think these people would be smart enough to let their software network, but apparently that's something they don't allow.
Yeah, well, I've set it up for sharing, and that seems to look okay. It's got the little hand under it, like it says it's sharing.
Right.
But when I go into the let's say it's a slave computer, the one that doesn't have the printer connected.
Right.
It feels like I have to direct the second computer to find the printer on the first computer, but
right.
I'm not sure how to do that.
If you do the add printer function, if you go into the control panel and then printers and say add printer,
yes.
One of the options when you set it up, it'll say local printer or network printer.
Okay, and when I installed it, I said it was I probably should have told the main computer it was a network printer then.
No, this is on the...
As long as you shared it on the main computer...
Which I've done.
On the slave, as Dan said, you just say, I'm adding a new printer, it'll give you a choice, you say network printer.
Okay.
And then it'll say, you want me to go find it?
And show you the whole list of...
And you say yes.
All right. So I thought I told it was a network printer, but I'll have to check that.
Yeah, try that again.
Will do.
Okie doke, let us know. Thanks. That's the. It's an interesting. It's not difficult, but it is. It's finicky. You got to do it the right steps in the right order to
especially
get it to happen.
All in ones are sometimes a pain. I mean, some of them just won't work on a network.
Right.
I've run into and some of the all in ones. I mean, they're great tools, but folks think that they can sit there and now scan and do everything from all the computers, and it just won't happen.
All right. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dan Deary, Ken Vogt, Chris Stettlemyer, me, Nick Francesco. More questions, and we're going to get to Ken. We're going to have to talk to Ken about DSL because we need to do that, but we wanted to do some phone calls. We have more phone calls from the great Argyle and Tom and a whole bunch of other people. Back in just a couple of minutes on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow. Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dan Deary.
I'm Ken Vogt. And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
And this is Sound Bites. Even without Steve, it's full bolt Sound Bites.
Mm-hmm.
We have four of us all sitting here.
Yep.
Before we get back to the phones, we have a very special guest here today. I talked about him at the top of the hour. You've heard his, he mentioned his name twice.
Yeah.
We haven't really gotten to him yet. His name is Ken Vogt. He is a solutions engineer too with Frontier, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about stuff like DSL and all the other good things. Ken, it's a joy to have you here.
Yes, really.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about, now, we all know DSL is a way to get internet into your home.
That's right.
And what makes it so cool?
Well, it makes it so cool. It's secure. It runs underneath ATM is the structure, and you have an absolute secure path from the phone line out to the internet, to right where you actually get onto the internet. So I can guarantee that the first mile of it, would be from your home to the internet, is absolutely secure. And it's fast. It goes up to 3 megabits.
Nice.
And, yep, and 384 downloads. So.
Well, I think one of your biggest thing, though, going right now is the deal. I mean, years. 2 years.
It can get even less expensive if you bundle it with long distance and phone. It's called the Frontier Choices. It's out on the web. If you go to frontiercorp.com.
So if you get your set, basically you don't even know it's there.
That's right.
And it just comes just megabits.
Yep, use the phone, use the internet, sign your stock.
So right now DSL. Because, you know, as we're saying, even saying the of course, impediment to dial up and that other the other company, you mm-hmm. know, competing. What's on the frontier for Frontier?
Well, yeah, we're examining a lot of different options. You know, like what it's like to shorten a loop length, maybe take fiber out to the network or take fiber directly into the home. Probably one of the things that slows that down for us is that the customer provided equipment isn't ready to take raw fiber. So
right. So anybody who's always had their equipment through you folks, they're ready to go.
That's right.
Everybody else, it's a toss up.
That's right.
It might be ready, probably not.
Probably not.
Right. That's very hard.
So we have to stay with the technology that's at hand.
Right. There's the difference between the utopia that you could be doing and the reality, the dystopia that we're involved in at the moment.
That's right. But we're exploring that future. So, with that, I'm sure that in the next few years we'll be delivering video. You know, that there's no doubt in my mind that that's the real convergence is to bring on television.
I think that's going to be huge in the future, too.
Well, it's not, yes. And for me, it's not just, for me at least, it's not just television as mindless entertainment. I mean, I can sit in front of a TV and get that. But the ability to do video in the sense of I can see you, I can mm-hmm. talk to you, mm-hmm. I can watch news breaking, I can do all that sort of stuff. Directly over my phone line as opposed to waiting for it to be filtered through whatever news channel I happen to be watching, not only waiting for them to filter, but waiting for them to actually get it on.
That's right.
And there's so much stuff. Most people have no idea how much stuff there is out there that you can't get at, that, footage of things you might be interested in yourself that most commercial outlets just don't care about. They're not going to, the National Juggling Championships just happened. Well, if you're interested in that, there was about an hour of it on ESPN yesterday. That's it. But it was a 3-day competition. If you could get the raw data feed, you could watch it yourself.
Right. I believe the future is going to be broad catching, where you put in your interests, and then they get collected. And
you essentially become your own news station. You decide what you want, your own channel, not just news. You decide what you want to watch, when you want to watch it, how you want to watch it. Maybe you can record it and play it back at a later time. All of that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right, and all of that can come right through the DSL connection.
That's right.
Right to your desktop and be ready for you when you need it.
Exactly.
It's a very cool future, and Frontier is working toward that right now, and they've got at least the beginnings of the technology in place. They're ready to move forward.
That's right, and like I say, we're exploring what the future is going to look like in our laboratories.
I want an invite.
Yeah, we'd be glad to have you come down.
Well, and that's one thing, though. There's not, I don't think, a home anywhere that doesn't have at least a phone.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, it's ubiquitous technology. It's very true.
Yeah, at least in the United States.
Right.
I was shocked, if you take a look at it from a worldwide perspective, almost 2/3 of the population have never made it, received a phone call.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's no because, way. Because two-thirds.
Because of the billions of people in the third world countries, yes.
Holy mackerel.
Two-thirds.
Yeah.
That is mind-boggling.
Yeah, oh, it's
so
a shock to me.
When you watch like a movie and somebody has to go, you know, down to the general store to make a phone call, you think, oh, how quaint.
Yeah.
But apparently that's the way it is in most of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, in the third world. But for us, look at it. It's something we just take for granted.
For us, we're all carrying cell phones for that.
Cell phones, pagers.
And the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's astonishing. We'll come back and we'll talk more about this after we take some more phone calls later on. But right now, Joan Brandenburg is going to give us all the news, weather, sports, all the good stuff. She's pumping up, getting ready to do her job. Then, and on the other side of the news, it's a whole lot more sound bites with Dave Enright, Dan Deary, Ken Vogt, Chris Stottlemyre, Mina Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's. Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dan Deary.
I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Chris Stottlemyre.
And Steve must be at some Star Trek convention.
Either that or one step ahead of the law.
Probably. Who knows?
And we're back with sound bites. Before we get back to the phones, we have Argyle on the line, Tom, a couple of other people. I can't see their names. We'll be back to them in just a minute. Before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about our website, soundbites.org. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was about wireless networking. 376 of you voted, making it number 45 in the all-time hit list. Want to thank each and every one of you. You're welcome. Thank you. The choices were wireless networking. I have it at work. I have it at home. I have it elsewhere, or I don't have it anywhere, you insensitive clod. Now, of course, many people berated me because I didn't say I have it at home and at work, or I have it at home at work, in my car, on my dog. It's a poll. Get over it. I picked the ones I want. If you want different ones, send me a poll.
Because we picked on you last week.
I'm sure you did. See, I fell asleep. I have to be honest with you. I'm probably one of the very few people, you being another one, who's never heard sound bites.
That's true.
If you stop and think about it.
Yeah.
Last Sunday, I started to listen to the show. I made the mistake of doing so in bed. The next thing I knew, it was about 3 o'clock. So I did hear the very, very beginning of the show. It sounded just magnificent, but I wasn't there for the rest of it. This week's poll is about computer technology magazines. Our very own Moody Blues 100 sent us this one. It's how many computer technology magazines do you subscribe to? 1, 2, 3, more than 3, or none? I have no money for magazines, you insensitive clod. So far, on our website, soundbites.org, 89 people have voted. 60% of you have no money for magazines, you insensitive clod. Once you are done putting in your poll choice, you'll see a little yellow box underneath it. If you click in the Give Us Your Opinion link, it will take you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And once you're there, you can enter an opinion about the poll. Most of the people on this one want to know why there was no choice for reading magazines online. And I guess my answer to that is because Moody made the poll up. I didn't.
There you go. You can blame it on Moody.
I'm blaming it on Moody. There's no question of that in my mind. So that's this week's poll, and please vote for it. Once you're done, come to our website, back to our website at soundbites.org, and join us in the forums where the wackiest people on earth hold sway day after day.
One thing I'm going to say, because I've had a number of folks email me on that, is we do, again, my lovely wife, Lori, did up this checklist.
Yeah, I got to get that online.
Well, the thing of it is if folks want this a copy of this list, if they email L. Lynch at nwritepc.com. She will email you back a copy of this whole checklist that she created for what you've got to do for installing or updating and running both SpyBot and AdAware. It's a complete list. She developed it, so it's not by Dan or I who sit there, yeah, do this, just do, you know, which we do instinctively. She sat and literally did it step by step. So if you email llynch@nwritepc.com, she will email you this checklist that you can literally keep your machine safe besides your antivirus program.
Perfect. All right. Quickly, we're going to go back to the phones now and talking to Argyle, who's been patiently waiting on the line. And this week, he's actually here in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Argyle.
He's probably over at Spin.
No, I'm not.
No? That's no. Usually where I see you.
I know it, but that really has something to do with what I'm going to talk about here. Nick, welcome back to the living, first of all.
Thank you so much. I missed most of a week.
Look, I got your guy Ken over there from Frontier can bring this back to his office with him.
Perfect.
Here's an idea. A lot of cities across the country are having these free wireless zones and parks and things like that.
Sure. Yeah.
And I was thinking all Frontier has to do to really promote DSL and promote how easy it is for use of Internet and with wireless and all that, and do a good service for the city of Rochester and all the people who work in Xerox and Bausch and Lomb, is hang a couple of wireless nodes off the front of their building and turn Washington Park right across the street into a free wireless zone.
Lovely idea.
You know, I mean, it's simple, it's easy, it costs them absolutely nothing, and by the time we are able to see grass out there again on the lawns, people will be able to go out and have the lunch and use wireless DSL right from Washington Park across the street.
You know, I got to tell you, I love that idea. I personally love the idea of making free wireless of it. Now, I realize that you know, Ken and Frontier actually make money off of providing wireless to people, but in fact, they bring wireless into buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Providing wireless for free outside of buildings costs very little and would be an incredible PR campaign. I completely agree with you.
I mean, they make the news. They make, you know, everything. They become a good city corporate citizen, the whole bit, and it costs them nothing.
Right.
So Ken, bring that when they debrief you on Monday, what you talk about on the show, bring that idea back to them and see what happens.
I absolutely will.
Okay, great.
It's a great idea. Thanks, my friend.
Open up. Bye-bye.
That's
a great idea.
I'm actually running into Argyle, but it's always at Spin.
So I'd stop going to Spin if I were you.
I know.
Although Spin is a wonderful cafe, there's no problem.
No, it is a great place. We sit there and hang out and, you know, have some coffee and that, and he's always there with his wireless.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think, you know what? That's a fascinating idea, Ken.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the idea is you wouldn't be taking away from your business since it's never been or never will be part of your business to provide wireless to Washington Park.
That's right.
You know, so give it to them.
Oh,
it's a great PR campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea.
Yeah.
And then we don't have to stop there. From there we move on. All outdoors, free wireless would be a great thing. I'm a big fan of it. I am. I really am.
Yeah, sure.
I think, you know, like I said, your job is indoors.
Mm-hmm.
So giving it to people outdoors, why not? You're not losing anything and gaining a lot of PR. It's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, our next caller is Tom from Geneseo, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
How you doing, you guys? Great show.
Thank you.
Wish it was on longer.
Me too.
After running the security tangle, I had SpyBot find five pieces of spyware that it couldn't, well, four that it couldn't remove. One it removed, the other four it couldn't remove. What should you do with that?
You can try running that in safe mode.
Running it in as I do it, right?
Go into safe mode first and then open up SpyBot and run it in safe mode. Most likely it will get rid of those five pieces that it couldn't in Windows.
That's what I did, though. I ran it in safe mode, just how we have it on the security tangle.
Might have to do run hijack this.
Possibly. You do have to be careful with hijack this because it is dangerous program, and you can get rid of things you don't want to, but it is a very nice utility to remove spyware that AdAware or SpyBot.
Well, especially if you run SpyBot, and he knows the ones that are running,
mm-hmm.
runs hijack this, and you'll see the list, and if you see those programs referenced there, then
you kill only those four.
Kill only those.
Okay.
Or kill anything that says no name or address.
Yep, or file missing.
File missing, you can check those.
Okay.
And safely get rid of that.
You know, they're under this DYFUCA Internet Optimizer.
Yep.
And this, oh, yeah.
And this N-Case.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are the two that they're under. You know, there's two under the one and two under the other.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. Yep. For that, now, like we said, Hijack This is a very dangerous program because you can kill anything with it, and most of the stuff that it brings up should not be removed, frankly. But since you already know what you're looking for, if you confine yourself to only those four items, you should be good to go.
Okay. Now, that Hijack This, is that a site you can go to?
Yeah, just do, if you go to download.com. And do a search there for Hijack This. They'll take you right to the place where you can download it.
Okay.
Put it on your desktop and run it.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, one of the other tools Dan and I would really like, I'm sure you would too, is somebody come up with a utility that I can put in a search criteria, sort of like Hijack For This.
Yeah.
Say I want to remove Norton from the registry.
Yeah.
Have a utility that will look for every incident of Norton and allow me to then to check the ones that I want to get rid of and have it remove it from the registry instead of having to do it line by line.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. The problem is the registry is so delicate that most people aren't going to take a look at. They're not going to write something.
That's
for
a
that.
Utility, though, that could be very. Well, it does it already for, you know, like Hijack This and some of your other spyware programs, so they know how to examine it. So if I could get a list of wherever it says, say, Norton, I type in the search criteria Norton, and I go down that whole list, and I'm able to check the ones that I want to get rid of.
Right.
Then if I screw it up, just like the registry, that's my fault.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, our next caller is also Tom, but this time he's calling from Fairport, New York. That Tom gets around, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. I have this HP Pavilion XP. It came with a 40-gig hard drive that's partitioned, you know, to ease the recovery portion, you know. Well, I bought a 120-gig, and I put in also. Separately, you know, Western Digital. Now, when I start my computer, now that it's getting old, I guess the hard drive's starting to go, I get this disconsistency checking. And it gets through 76%, then reboots and goes back to disconsistency checking, starts all over again. And it's drive E, which is my recovery partition. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, geez, the hard drive's probably starting to go.
Because
it keeps cycling through this, and it doesn't ever get past that 76%.
Yep.
So I got this drive D anyways, 120 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to swap the drives around.
Well, you can ghost it. Use ghost, and it'll copy the image that's on the current C and E drive to this D drive, and it'll actually break it up into two partitions.
Well, that's probably a good idea. Sure.
The problem really is, if there is a disk consistency problem, I'd worry that I was just going to be copying bad stuff from one disk to another.
Mm-hmm.
I'd start with a product called SpinRite at SpinRite.com, SpinRite, R-I-T-E, Rite.
Okay.
I think it used to be at SpinRite.com.
Yeah.
It might now just be at GRC.com. Either one should get you there. GRC.com from Gibson Research Corporation. It's a free program that actually is magic. It will recover the most corrupted stuff I've ever seen. It will actually let you reformat your hard drive on the fly without losing data. It's an incredible utility. It's a free download. Steve Gibson is my hero. There's no question of that.
Well, a separate item, you know, that problem with getting rid of spyware.
Sure.
I had one where it found the stuff but couldn't get rid of it, and I went to that folder where it was, and of course the names weren't there. I knew it was really there, but it wasn't displaying.
Hidden, yep.
So I had to delete the entire folder.
Yep.
In order to get rid of it.
Right.
Just a hint to pass on.
Right. Okay, excellent. That works if, as long as the folder doesn't have anything important in it.
Important in it, right.
Right.
So, well, thanks for the help.
Yep. No, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I can't say enough good stuff about SpinRite. What a product. Listen, we're going to take another quick break, but we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dan Deary, Ken Vogt, Chris Stuttlemyre, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. We've got Tim, we've got Sam, maybe? Something with an S. And a whole bunch of other people on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Make no. They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dan Deary.
I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Chris Stuttlemyre.
And this is Soundbites. Now we have Ken Vogt here, and he is from Frontier. And I got to take the opportunity to ask him. We touched on this for a moment, but Ken, if you had to make one prediction about where Frontier was going to be in a year, nobody's going to hold you to this. We're not going to come back and say you're a genius or an idiot. We don't, not one way or the other. Where would you say Frontier was going to be?
This is just life according to Ken. This isn't the...
Right. You are not the corporate word, and nobody's going to hold you to this.
I got to believe...
Let me put it differently. Where would you like Frontier to be?
Oh, that's much better.
Where would you like to see Frontier in the next year?
I'd like to see us definitely in the video market. There's no doubt in my mind. Whether or not we'll get there in time or in that time frame, I don't know. But I think that's where it's going to go. We're definitely going to be the premier leader in communications.
And that's one certainly form of... Now, you're talking about video TV programs or video as opposed to, like, me talking to you in a conference call?
We might see video conference calls, like with whiteboarding, things like that. You might see that. It's quite conceivable that you have something kind of like more like a broadcast medium, right, or maybe like an infomercial kind of thing for corporations. And you click on the website and you see a spokesperson come out in front and talk. Those sorts of things, definitely integration with the web.
Very nice. So video conferencing as for a business setting.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you think about it, you know, video phone itself has been around since 1938, since the World's Fair, right? Yeah. And nobody's ever caught on to it.
Flash Gordon used it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you'll see, like, even in corporate space, people tend to use it like at security phones.
Right.
Makes eminent sense. You'll probably have it in home someday, right? Where you're looking at who's at the front door or who's at the back door.
Sure.
Right? Makes a lot of sense.
And why not?
Right. But to just talk to me over the phone and get my face, I don't think so.
Yeah. People hate that, too, because if they wake up and they're...
No, you got to get dressed before you can answer the phone.
Right. I can't talk and I'm my face on. Well, you know, I read a lot of science fiction because I enjoy it, I guess. I was about to say something rude about, you know, present day, but I won't. I read a lot of science fiction, and in those stories where, you know, they talk about things like that, it's very common that, you know, somebody won't turn on the video.
Right.
Because you've called them at 3 in the morning or whatever that is. And I understand that, so that makes sense. Particularly if you have control over it, turn it on or off or whatever.
Look at the people turn on and off caller ID today.
Right.
Right.
That's exactly right. So that's a very interesting thing. Now, do you think we can do that with the bandwidth we have today?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any great shakes there. You know, we've got new compression out there, MPEG-4.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of bandwidth to do that. I have these things that are called Kenlings. It's kind of like Dr. Erling's work, right? But it's figure out how much bandwidth you need. So you take a look at the application you're going to try to do. Like if you're just going to surf the web,
right?
You only need about 64K for that. And then every user you add on after that, you need about 18K, right?
Right.
So it kind of works out that way.
And I like it.
Yeah. Like I can tell you, like for CD quality audio, 192K plus 18 for everyone you're going to use, because you got kind of a StatMux effect. 300K for video. So DSL's well within that.
Well within that. So now, thanks. Thank you very much. Now my daughter, she's going to call friends and say, oh, I want you to hear this, and then I want you to see this, and I'll never have... Thank you so much, Ken. I'll be calling you when I need extra phone lines for you to pay for it. Nice.
You know what, another product they could come out with, you know, like you're saying, this phone over there, you don't want to be right there.
Right.
So do like they do, you know, you see on the futuristic, like a hologram sitting there of
sure.
you, and you could just have that image come up so when the phone comes on, sorry, I can't come to the phone right now, and you see.
Sure, you can get, sure, why not? As long as you're going to have video phone, the video doesn't have to come
pre-tape,
from.
Pre-tape the video and have it just play. Sorry, I can't come to the phone now. You know, if you don't want to answer.
Right.
Yeah, you get modeling people come and get your best profile. And
Extreme Makeover phone.
I think you're going to see Wi-Fi phone, though, probably more importantly. It'll be portable, kind of like your cellular phone, but it'll be just kind of like limited from region to region.
Hmm.
You know, just kind of, I envision probably 5 years from now, you'll probably have something kind of like a Wi-Fi dome going across the
right.
metro county area.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll just kind of go from, like, today you travel from between cell to cell, you'll travel from dome to dome.
Right. Now, and I love that idea. One of the things that I love about wireless is being able to take either my laptop or my PDA everywhere with me.
Absolutely.
And I can get my mail, and I can get my calendaring, and it's all live, and it's all wonderful, at work.
That's right.
At work. And I would love to be able to do that as I travel around the city.
Right. And Voice over IP will enable that. And I think that what you're going to see there is like click to call, right, where people go onto a website, and they can actually talk to an agent or a call
yep.
center person.
Yep.
You'll see the features of Find Me, Follow Me, so you're always in touch with the people you want to be in touch with.
Yep.
Those you don't, they can't reach it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can get them incessant busy or something.
Right.
And then the other part of it's unified messaging, right, where you can actually tie the voicemail and the email together.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now I think those advanced features are what's going to propel that.
Right. And that leads us to the problem of work ends rather than weekends.
Yeah.
You know, people who work 24/7.
How connected do you really want to be?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I boast about the fact that while I carry a cell phone, my wife and my daughter have the number, now we're done.
Right.
That's it. If you want to get a hold of me, and there is, it is available to one person at work. If you need to get a hold of me, you get a hold of me. I've never been a camper. Okay, to me, camping, roughing it, is like when room service is late. Okay. My wife is a camper. She'll stick a canoe on her back and head north, and you know, until you can't go north anymore, then you're all going south. But she talked me, you know, we compromised. She wanted to camp, I didn't, so we compromised. We camped. And I discovered the joy of camping is that you want to see me, you come to the campsite. You want to talk to me, you bring the beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works, and I love that.
No phones.
No phones, no
TV.
Nothing. I'm just, no, right, exactly. It was a complete analog weekend. You know, I have to tell you, I love that. I believe in getting away once in a while. Of course, this last week I took it to an extreme. I don't believe I was awake a total of 10 hours in the last 7 days. But, but you're right, in terms of when you're at work, I want to be in touch the whole time I'm there, you know?
That's right.
Minute to minute. I don't want to miss a minute because you never know when you're going to be needed or necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as that means you have to be the one who says, now it's on, now it's off.
Right.
But in terms of when you need to be on, I think the convergence of all of that stuff and the ability to put it all in one little device where I can get my phone, my video phone, my PDA, my everything all in one little, that's so cool.
Right.
Plus, well, you guys need a guinea pig, call me first.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really.
I love this idea.
Yeah. And I want to open that up to the callers, too. If anybody has any ideas, we're more than receptive to collect those and take them back.
Where should Frontier go next? Be polite when you say that. All right. Excuse me, I amused myself. It only hurts when I laugh. Our next caller is Tim from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Briefly, I'd just like to say thank you, Frontier. I used to be a dial-up, and then I went to a satellite provider. And Frontier, the gentleman at the slick, every day I'd stop and say, is the media card in yet? And now I'm 18,000 feet away from the first node, and I've clocked at about 2.4 meg.
Not bad.
At one point in time. You know, it depends on what's out there.
Right.
My question is, a friend of mine sent me a CAD package graphic, and I went out on the Internet, I Googled it, and found something that would convert it to a PDF. I did that. It asked if I wanted to purchase it. After I converted it, I said no. They said, okay, well, we'll be deleting now, and it took half of my desktop with it. And I went to my trash bin, and it's not, is it gone and Windows world forever, or is there a way I can recover some of that?
When you say it took half your desktop with it, what did it take?
Outlook, my computer, but it still runs, so I know it's the icon that's missing. The things that you shouldn't, Internet Explorer.
Right, right. So what you're really missing are just the icons.
Right.
Okay, that actually is better.
Have you tried to go back to our restore point?
Yep, and it's not there, and that's what blew me away. I was like, whoa.
Have you done Dance the Tango?
I do that religiously about once a week. I thought that, geez, maybe they put some spyware in there.
Okay, what are you running, XP?
I'm running XP Professional.
Great. Right-click on the desktop.
Okay.
Select Properties.
Okay.
Select the Desktop tab. On the bottom left, you'll see a Customized Desktop button.
Okay.
Click that. It will bring you up Desktop Items, and one of the choices is a little box that says Desktop Icons.
Okay.
And that tells you which ones will actually show up on the desktop.
Oh, okay, okay. I know exactly.
There you go.
Yep, okay. I appreciate it. I thought I lost everything forever, and it's just a... change the configuration.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay.
You're on your... And whatever that is, don't ever download it again.
I've learned from that mistake. But I do have one question for the gentleman from Frontier.
Absolutely. Yes. And he is a gentleman. He's even wearing a tie. I don't know what he thinks he's up to.
Even though I've been pinged out at 18,000 feet...
Yep.
My question is, I'm very happy with Frontier. A friend of mine works for your company, and she told me you ought to try it. And once I got it, I've converted many people from the other fast speed broadband to Frontier, and they are all very...
Very well put.
Very excited about it. My question to you is, you know, you're talking four-pair, six-pair cable, you know, the little telephone wires coming in. Is that going to restrict the technology coming down the road?
I don't think so. You know, we're up against some hard walls of physics and technology today.
Right.
But if you think of Moore's Law, like every 18 months things get faster.
Right.
And better and cheaper. I got to believe that in the future we'll be able to overcome this.
Okay. I didn't know if, you know, it was something that you were going to go out and start putting coaxial cable out there.
No, we would probably, if we go to do anything, we'll take fiber out.
Fiber out.
And the question is, do we go fiber to the curb or do we take it fiber right to the house?
House.
Yeah,
house.
My house especially, because I'm 1,800 feet from the road, so
yeah.
I need fiber to the house.
I'm voting fiber to the house.
And then, of course, we've got to have the equipment manufacturers make stuff to take it, because when you get single-mode fiber into your house, you're dealing
That's
with very large-end Cisco equipment. And
right.
Yeah.
Very expensive.
Well, it's expensive today.
Yeah.
But if you it's just a matter of how many have they sold.
Right.
They sell enough
market,
and it comes
so
right
now
down.
You open
exactly.
up a whole other market. You're going to have 5 million people bidding for this stuff.
Exactly, yep. Tim. Exactly. Cisco does it this week. Linksys does it next week.
Yep.
That's
just
how
like
it works.
The calculators when they first came out.
They're
$300. Now they give them away as gifts.
A friend of mine had, for every year, he bought a $400 calculator.
Oh.
The first year it did four functions, the next year it did six, the next year it did eight. Now you can't even buy one. I mean, a calculator.
Right.
$400 now, it's a whole computer.
I was just going to say, you're buying yourself a cheapy computer.
Exactly.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. You're great, and thanks for the help on the desktop.
Tim, great ideas, too. Thank you.
Well, I think Frontier should let us try that out first. Be the guinea pig.
We are ready. Tim, we are
bring the fiber right to our house, and
we're ready.
We could literally put it through the paces.
Like you need people who can seriously put this through the paces.
Our shop, we can do it.
We're ready to be guinea pigs anytime you need us. Our duty is clear, sir.
I appreciate that.
I knew you would. Our next caller is Sal from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Sal. What's your question?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi there.
Love your show.
Thank
I had a
you.
Question for Ken with
Great.
Frontier on DSL.
Yes.
Now, when it's installed, I believe your offer filters
yes.
for the different phones
yep.
versus like a whole house filter.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is what I've done at home. I have, right where the phone system comes into our house, it's down by the washing machine.
Uh-huh.
And I put one filter there. And I branch off the DSL, take it into the DSL modem.
Okay.
And I take it right there and take it into the home network. And then I only have one filter there because from there, the rest of the phones all kind of come out of there. It's a start topology.
So at the central point, you're putting the phone.
Yeah, and I only need one filter as opposed to going around putting
it
on every phone.
Yeah, as long as it works, it works.
Okay, so that's acting like a house filter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a house filter.
Yeah.
So that's offered by Frontier, or do you get that separately? How's that?
That's just a design that
they came in the box. They come in the box that you put the one in, and the two outs are one goes to DSL and one goes to your phone system.
Yeah, so you just have to figure out like how your home network's kind of laid out. You know, if you extended the phones, I don't know. I have another little problem, right? I have so many phones in my house, and a teenage daughter. Sometimes I have to disconnect.
I've got the same problem. Lots of phones, but so you're saying this way you get a dedicated line right to your modem, and then it goes to the rest of the house.
Yeah. So what I did is I put an RJ11 jack right where the phone wire comes into the house, right past the block there.
Okay.
I wired that in. I put a little jumper to another RJ11 jack. And there's also another one that goes up to my daughter's bedroom, so I can disconnect her and take her off the network. And unfortunately, she's probably listening to the show, so now she knows where that is.
Yeah.
But it's electrified.
But
you know the code to deactivate it.
And because of that, because I got the little jack in there, then I can take the DSL jack and plug that in there, and then come the phone side out and take that up to the house network.
Perfect.
If you want, I'll take your name or email offline, and I'll be glad to send you an email and a little drawing how to do that.
Sure, that'd be great.
Chris, so don't hang up. Chris will take your information offline.
Okay, thanks.
All right, listen, we have to take a quick break, but we'll be back. Are we on until 1 today?
Yes.
I'm very excited. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dan Deary, Ken Vogt, Chris Tunnelmeyer, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe and your source for DSL information, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbite.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dan Deary.
I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Back to those people patiently waiting on the phone. Our first caller, Mark, from Henrietta, New York. Well, Henrietta, New York. Mark, what's your question?
Hello, gentlemen. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I have a question on DSL.
Excellent.
I live in Henrietta, off East Henrietta, near the Dome.
Okay.
And I took almost like an act of God to get these wires rung out to get DSL last year.
Okay.
And it's all I could get was a low speed.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know, I sure like to upgrade to high speed, but they tell me there haven't been any equipment upgrades in the area.
We've got about 80% of our serving area covered right now, and that's a big project before us is to go through and try to address the other 20%, and then to come back and get the people like you right where you've been saddled with lower speeds. But the one thing you are getting from this, though, is a very secure connection, so I guess that's kind of the trade-off.
I mean, it is so much better than dial-up, but it'd sure be nice to have the higher speed.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
It's coming, that's the good news.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm afraid I'll lose the 2-year deal by the time it gets here. That's all.
Well, I'm sure that there will be all kinds of this's and that's's to
there's all, yeah. You know.
But I tell you what, this is a problem that everybody faces to one extent or another. For many years, the folks at Frontier were designing their network for voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great voice network. It was reliable, it was solid, it was clean, it was good. And then everybody started using it for dial-up. And it was never designed for that, and the network started to degrade. And it's not their fault, it's just the way, you know, you're using it for something it was never intended for.
Sure.
Now, DSL came out, and everybody believed that, no, you know, it wasn't going to be a lot of money in it. And so low-speed DSL went out everywhere. But to upgrade to high-speed DSL takes cash and takes planning and takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they've done is they've made a plan, a little battle plan to get it all out there. And it's understandable when you're at the butt end of that plan. It's really painful, but I think you need to take heart in the fact that you're in the plan and that the plan will get to you soon.
Yes, and there's also some software tools available, too. If you go out to frontiernet.net, Uh-huh. Under user tools, it, actually, if you take a look, there's frequently asked questions. If you go out there, you can see that they've got some enhancements for Windows and Windows NT to help pick up some of the speed, at least software-wise, to make sure your system is totally optimized to take advantage of the speed you do have.
Yeah, that was something I did right after I got hooked up.
How did that work out?
It did help.
Good.
It did help. It's but like I said, I really enjoyed it. I've never had any problem with it.
Excellent.
That's great.
Can I ask one other question on Windows XP as long as I'm here?
As long as you're here.
On the system restore, should that be on all the time, except when you're doing like the security tango?
I generally do like to keep it on, just in case there is a problem. You can always go back to that. Plus, it does keep backups of other utilities, and if you were ever to have trouble with your system, a repair shop can go back and restore those files and get you back up and running without too much of a hassle. So, yeah, I do like to keep that on.
Like you said, we make a practice of usually at our shop of turning them off while we're trying to do, you know, a virus scan or SpyBot and Adware or anything else that we have to do, just so things aren't being hidden there.
Right.
But usually once we're done, we then turn it back on.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and
you're
keep
welcome,
up the good work.
Thank you, Mark, and Mark, I don't know, obviously none of us know where you are in the plan, but good luck. Our next caller is Mike, also from Henrietta. From Mark to Mike, both in Henrietta. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Afternoon, guys.
Hi.
I'm a novice as far as computers go in one sense of the case. At the undergrad level, I just got accepted to St. John Fisher Grad School of Education. I'll be starting in the fall.
Congratulations.
Thank you, and I'll be... I'm going to take out the extra money on the student loans and buy myself a computer. And I've been relying on computer clusters at different institutions that I've been at, MCC and stuff. And what I wanted to know is I just need some minimum. I'm not going to ask you to endorse any one brand or product, which you probably wouldn't want to anyway.
Right.
But as far as minimum requirements, I'm probably just going to be using it for the basics, word processing, research on the net, and possibly PowerPoint presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know what you think a reasonable price and minimum requirements for speed, memory,
laptop or desktop.
And that's the other question: laptop versus desktop. I know you guys have been talking about wireless, and I don't quite understand how I understand how wireless works, but I don't understand if you have one service provider, and for instance, say I have Roadrunner or Frontier at home, but then I go down to, I know, like the Brockport, the entire building, Brockport downtown, offers wireless throughout the building, and they have another service provider. Do you have a certain card in your laptop?
Yeah, the way it works in general with all of these things is they all come into your system via Ethernet.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the computer is concerned, the computer itself, let's say you have a router in your home, a wireless router.
Mm-hmm.
That's really wireless Ethernet. Or if it's connected via a wire, that's an Ethernet wire. So when you go into school, you have an Ethernet wire or an Ethernet wireless connection, and it's very much the same. You may need to log in or get yourself validated to the network in some way. That depends on the security at school. But in terms of equipment, the same equipment you use for wireless at home or wired at home will work for wireless or wired at school.
And as far as the issue of desktop or laptop, in fact, I had, through the Squirrel Mail account, somebody asking me to please address this issue because, you know, and talk about it on a show.
Sure.
And I wrote her back with our usual line, it depends.
Right?
Because it does. It depends on, seriously, folks, what you're going to use this system for. Whether, you know, it's going to be just a home-based system, or do you need something that you're going to be able to have at home, then take to school, or whether you're going to have to take it to work. It really depends on those things, on whether you're going to go with a desktop or a laptop.
Right.
Some folks,
I've seen other colleagues, like, bring their laptop into a classroom situation, rent a projector from the audiovisual department and throw out great PowerPoint presentations for class.
And that's never a bad thing. If you need to be able to do that, a laptop will stand you in good stead. Nowadays, you can buy a laptop that is more powerful than a desktop, so you can do that. You pay a premium,
Right.
A few hundred dollars for that. But certainly you can do it. My I'm also, by the way, a grad student.
Okay.
Why wait till the last minute? I'm finally getting my master's.
Hey, never a bad time.
Exactly. And I find a laptop to be absolutely invaluable. I always ask the professor before I take a class if it's okay to bring my laptop, because some of them don't like the clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But in general, that has never been a problem.
But on the same token, though, like say you don't want to have to worry about toting a laptop around. What some of the other folks are doing, if there's already a PC, say, in that particular classroom, and you know it can be hooked up to a screen, all you usually folks are getting very popular with is jump drives. You can literally put all your information that you need, say even a presentation for PowerPoint, you bring it into class, you plug it into it, you run it off of that jump drive, and there's your whole presentation, and you've had all you had to tote around is something that you can fit in your shirt pocket.
Okay.
So again, it's flexibility as far as system requirements. I would say all the systems nowadays you're going to find with Windows XP on it. So 512KM memory. That is a definite must.
XP with 512.
512.
512 meg of RAM.
If you're going with a laptop, say at least a 40 gig hard drive. On a desktop unit, at least an 80 gig hard drive. At least 64 meg of video memory on a desktop unit, minimum. Because the more video memory added, if you're doing like a presentation and everything else, and in the internet, things are just going to pop along because now the newer video cards, you know, you get 128.
Yeah, the bigger the video card, the better.
And that's it. You know, I mean, you don't have to go for the highest-end processor for what you're going to want to do.
So what type of price range would you consider?
You can shop around, and depending on the parts, and this is one thing, you know, I get a lot of folks that will sit there and we do up quotes. And they'll say, well, I can go over here and get this cheaper. You've got to compare apples to apples. That is my biggest gripe right now. Folks will sit there and say, well, I can go here and get this cheaper. Well, you're comparing the exact same parts. Well, no, they said this is, you know, it's equivalent to that.
There are two things that are paramount when you're going to buy a computer. The quality of the company you're buying it from,
mm-hmm.
and the warranty. If you buy from a local vendor like Dave, you know who you're seeing, who you're looking at, you have a face to talk to when there's a problem.
Right.
You look at the warranty. If a company offers a 3 or 6 month warranty and somebody else offers a 1 year warranty, I'd take the longer warranty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of thing that's actually more important than the specs and the price, because I can sell you a laptop for $600 and not back it up.
Okay.
What good has that done you?
And not to slam Dell right now, but you know that company is really starting to kick me off.
I get a catalog every 3 months in the mail.
Well, no, months. I get a catalog every 3 weeks.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
what's
yeah.
really burning my butt is they sit there and they've done two different ads and they show this guy and his wife in bed and he's calling tech support. And he's talking to an English-speaking gentleman.
Right.
I'm sorry, you called Dell Support, and just like a lot of other companies, they outsourced it to India.
You're going to get somebody that doesn't know what Kwanzaa is.
Well, and the thing of it, yeah, but the thing of it is, though, is, and I've heard this, and I'm not, you know, trying to slam anybody or anything else, but, you know, the support we offer is here, and we're local.
I have Soyata 1,500 yards down the road from me on West Henrietta Road, so
mm-hmm.
that's one of the main places, plus the reliability. They've been around for at least 10 years now, maybe 15.
That's an excellent place to look. I mean, that's the sort of thing you want to look at. They've been around. They know what they're doing. They've got a good reputation. That's
yeah,
the sort of thing you're looking
for. Yeah, here locally, and you got a face that you can run into.
We always believe that you should keep your money local anyway.
Right.
The other thing, the one last thing, I don't want to forget this, if you're going to buy, whether it's a desktop or a laptop, get a CD burner.
Okay.
So that you can take your data, burn it to a CD, and keep it backed up. Particularly, I know as a grad student, I do a lot of papers, I do a lot of lab reports, I do a whole lot of stuff. And I don't want to lose last year's lab reports or any of that other nonsense, so I want to make sure that I've got all that stuff on the system. But I also want to make sure it's backed up somewhere for whenever I need it.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right. Thanks for that.
Thanks. Well, that tells me that we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody. Once again, I want to thank everybody who wrote to me and sent me good wishes and prayers, and I appreciate all of that. I want to thank everybody in the forums who apparently have been saying nice things. I have to get out.
Yeah, get in there.
I want to thank Dave Enright, Dan Deary, the great Ken Vogt, who came all the way from Frontier to give us the word. Of course, Chris Stettlemyer, who kept us on the straight and narrow. I'm Nick Francesco, and we will be back here next Sunday at 11 a.m. on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Today, millions...